Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's another episode of Simply Amazing. Tim Ryder, Taryn Sharma. You could probably tell by my voice, things aren't too jolly these days. Things aren't too cheery. The Mets are they're back in the doldrums. Had a nice stretch. Went 10-5 from the middle of May till the first day of June, and then have gone 1-8 since. Taryn, what are your initial thoughts on this little free fall that the Mets are experiencing?
Yeah, it's it almost literally feels like one step forward and two steps back, and they don't look like they're having fun out there right now, and it's not fun to watch. And yeah, it's a bummer. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that we can go with talking about what has gone wrong. I mean, one of the issues since the beginning of the season has been starting pitching. They just haven't had it consistently. And when the guys that are, you know, we don't typically talk about salaries really, because I don't think that it necessarily affects what a player, how a player should be viewed, because that's what the market determined that their value was. But in this case, I think that the salaries reflect how important they are to the team. And when you have Scherzer and Verlander, who are first ballot Hall of Fame guys, just not contributing in a way that they have over the last few seasons, kind of defying their age, that's going to make it really difficult to win. And the Mets have injuries in their rotation, and they've really only gotten fairly consistent good performance from Senga. And then other than that, I don't know if there's a single guy in the rotation that you can count on a specific turn through the order that is going to give you a good start. So,
well, you know, Scherzer, I guess going into his last start, which he got beaten up pretty well, 5 earned over 5 2/3 against the Braves. His 4 starts leading up to that, I mean, he had a 1.08 ERA, 182 batting average against. He was really looking like he was coming around. And, you know, I think everyone was kind of looking at him to be the stopper, and that loss against Atlanta was, you know, anything but it, and combine it with everything else that was going on. I still have faith that Max and even Verlander can be who the Mets need them to be. I kind of want to talk about what you brought up to start, I guess, the first thing you said, which was it doesn't look like they're having much fun right now. Now, after we signed off on the last episode, we talked real quick about what the Diamondbacks were doing. I think they had just overtaken first place at the time. Yeah. I don't know if you've been watching much of Arizona, but that's a team that's having genuine fun playing baseball. And like noticing what they're doing, and even just looking around, you know, around baseball, you can see that there's something wrong, and it's not just performance-wise with this team. And I'm not going to sit here and proclaim that I know what it is, but something's off, something's up, however you want to put it. What can you really put your finger on? The offense is come and gone. It's shown its potential in spurts, but it's been nowhere near consistent. We talked quickly about the starting pitching. I honestly think that the bullpen is where the crux of the Mets issues lie. You know, I know that losing Diaz hurt, and, you know, Ottavino not being the Adam Ottavino of 2022, also, I mean, under magnifying glass with Diaz out and, you know, inopportune time to really not find your groove. Robertson's been terrific, but again, he can't be perfect. But the Mets are leaning on you know, not the type of bullpen you really need. If you want to, you know, replicating a 100-win season is not impossible, but you shouldn't expect it. But to be successful, I don't think that they've got pieces in place. And that's just not the bullpen. It's maybe across the board that there might be pieces that need upgrades. And I don't know if that's at the root of, I guess I'll call it the vibes issues, but like you said, they're just not having fun, and that spills over into production. You know, when you string together base hits, when you put together a crooked run on the board for in an inning, whatever, you know, that takes a certain amount of confidence. Baseball takes a certain amount of confidence, and whether it's something going on behind closed doors, whether it's just an overall lack of confidence, I'm getting to the point where I'm at a loss, and this feels like Mets baseball has felt for my entire life, and I really felt we were past this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe it's a matter of trust in each other, not believing that each other can get the job done. It could be that. It could be just, I don't know, the pressure of high expectations, the maybe they don't like each other. I don't know.
Hey, we've seen this happen before in Mets clubhouses, other clubhouses, where, you know, off-field stuff can get in the way, but yeah, I don't want to put it on off-field stuff.
No, it just seems so unlikely with this group, right? Because they're all like family guys.
Yeah.
It seems unlikely that there would be any situation that could arise that would lead to them hating each other from off the field stuff. But I mean, who knows?
But that doesn't fall on leadership though. Like if us as fans can sense something's up, and then I'm not just talking about Buck, I'm talking about the leaders in that room. And you know, a lot of people have, we can get into Buck forever. I'm not going to be like, oh, this is all Buck's fault. Buck can't swing a bat. Buck can't throw a strike.
No,
you know, Buck's there to motivate and Buck's there to make the right decisions, which he hasn't always been an A+ on. But if the leadership isn't there in that room to re-motivate that group, then, you know, maybe this group has bigger issues.
Yeah, maybe they do. No, Buck has definitely not pushed the button so seamlessly as he did last year. But I mean, a lot of that is performance, right?
Like, I think a lot of that is performance and personnel.
Yeah.
Like when he's making bullpen decisions, when your options are John Curtis or Tommy Hunter, and you still have, you know, a shred of a chance to win a ball game, you know, you're in trouble. And that's not a knock on John Curtis or Tommy Hunter. Tommy Hunter, of course, was DFA'd, but, you know, his responsibilities ranged anywhere from, you know, important, semi-important outs to mop-up duty. Yeah. You know, that's just not an ideal situation for any want to be competitive ball club to be in. That's again not a knock on Tommy Hunter, but that
he performed well, and he was a bit of a mascot also.
from all accounts, he was beloved in the clubhouse. Yeah. I know the fan base loved him, but yeah, I mean, this organization, which is taking leaps and bounds in where they're going, it seems like they're they're very hesitant to make moves that need to be moved, that needed to be made, I don't know, a month ago.
Which runs very contrary to everything that we've heard from Cohen. But really what I think is that he is being patient, and he sees this now as like that they're going to need to retool. And so,
yeah.
Yeah. I think that you're going to, if this continues the way that it's going, I think you're going to see a lot of new faces.
Oh, I mean, we already heard the rumors that Stearns from Milwaukee will be here in a front office position next year.
Starting there and him bringing in whoever he really likes as manager.
Yeah. Oh, and it could change the whole face of where we're going. And I have confidence that this organization is going to, you know, do all they can to pick things up. I'm just hoping that it's this year. I mean, you could look towards the future, and that confidence that you never used to have, like, oh God, this was, you know, the lightning in a bottle and it's never going to happen again. I don't think that's the case with this organization anymore. I think they're going to do their best to make it work, even when things don't work.
Well, but it kind of has to be this year in a way, right? Because where's the pitching necessarily coming from? You're kind of counting on these older guys to to be good. Mike Vassell is at AAA now. He just got moved up. I guess like he's an option, but he's probably like a mid to back of the rotation kind of guy. I'm not sure like where the influx of talent is going to come from unless they're going to keep spending. And I mean, I'm hopeful that they'll do that. I'm hopeful that they'll be in on the Ohtani sweepstakes, but those things are not guarantees. You have no idea who's going to be available. And it's not like the Mets necessarily have a ton of prospect capital to trade.
At least not guys that you want to move.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe some lower level guys. I know that they really like Jet Williams. He seems like a very exciting prospect, kind of like a scrappy guy. Maybe they could move him.
Sure. JT Schwartz. I mean, Alex Ramirez seems like he's going to be quite a ball player, but
he's starting to pick it up again.
Yep. Leverage wise, they're over a barrel. I mean, if they would have gone out and tried to make moves right when Diaz got hurt again, their leverage would have been shot.
Yeah.
That first 2 weeks of the season, man, I mean, they could have been putting feelers out. Maybe they were. But, man, it seems like everybody in the organization was just waiting for the other shoe to drop for this team to do well. I mean, I would already have my you know, five different pots on the stove right now, all, you know, simmering and seeing what we need next.
And it started 14-7. April was fun.
Yeah, but you saw things happening. You saw weak spots kind of develop, and I don't know. It's almost like we could have written this story ahead of time. You know, every day or every game for the last like what, 6 weeks. Yeah. It's almost like we know what's happening. That's, you know, that's just not a fun way to enjoy the game. But when the guys that you're watching are acting out the same feelings, I mean, that's cause for concern, I guess you could say that. But like Dominic Leone, he was picked up, you know, off the heap. Yeah. He's put in some good innings. That's great. But, you know, where are the actual upgrades that you need if you want to stay competitive? Hey, if internally they don't think this is a competitive team and they're just kind of going to go through the motions and maybe get some looks at the young guys over the course of the year, whatever, but just know that you're disappointing a lot of fans who had very high expectations. I honestly don't think that's the case, but you just have to wonder what's going on behind these scenes right now, that there's all of these just glaring areas of need and nothing's cooking. It's odd.
Yeah. Well, I think that they're also going to disappoint the guy that signs the checks, which is arguably more important, but
hey, he's playing with pocket change. And then, you know, I don't like counting anybody's money, especially the owner of a ball club. But, you know, this isn't his day job. He got into this to win titles. And that's, you know, that's ideally what a baseball owner or a sports owner should be. The last ownership group is more worried with making money on this team, not actually, you know, seeing a team succeed. Yeah. Best of both worlds. You see both things happen. But, yeah, his interview with Joel Sherman in the Post, or the article by Sherman in the Post with Cohen's quotes, you know, he seems very measured. I know in the past with the point, now I can't remember the name of the hedge fund. Anyway, Cohen's hedge fund. What is it?
Point 42.
Okay. Thank you. So, oh, shoot. Now I lost my entire train of thought. Oh, so he's measured. But you've heard of him talk in the past about his day job and how things are, I guess, it's a performance-based industry. And if guys aren't cutting it, you got to bring in people who are. I'm almost waiting for that shoe to drop now. And it almost feels like, I mean, personally, I have been waiting for that shoe to drop. And I thought that was kind of the MO of these Mets, you know, oh, shit's not working. Let's pick it up and fix it as fast as possible. It's kind of just a lot of sitting and waiting right now as a fan, as at least perception wise, as an organization. I just hope they got something in the works because they need a lot of help right now.
Yeah. So there's 66 games into the season.
So 96 left.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot, but is it really?
No, it gets late early.
It does, man. Those street lights come on quick.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. I think that if you're listening to this, you can kind of sense that we're a little bit lost for words. Like,
absolutely. Where else can you be right now?
No, I'm just stunned that it's gone like this. I mean, maybe I should have known, but I mean, maybe I don't know enough about baseball, but
we don't know ball, Taryn. That's official. We do not know ball. No, you know what? I think, the most brilliant minds in the game expected the Mets to be competitive, possibly World Series contenders this year. I think everybody knew that their weaknesses. And I think everyone, I mean, we've talked about this previously, how we were all expecting Billy Epler in his front office to bring in some more power, to solidify the bullpen when you knew that you lost one of the best closers in the game for what looks like most of the season. Maybe he'll be back at the end in Diaz. If they knew this,
I could almost forgive the trying to replace Diaz. One, it's an impossible task, but two, it happened in the middle of spring training.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, you, like you said, you can't replace Diaz, but you can shore up that seventh inning so that you're not relying on people who shouldn't be pitching in very high leverage situations on daily basis, or regularly, I should say. And I just, hindsight being 2020, I think the Mets made some hopefully not fatal flaws in their decision-making process when things did not start off so well. And
I think Raley has been pretty good, but
Raley's been great. I think Brigham's has had his times. I think we talked about Leon. I mean, he's been up and down, but for a guy off the trash heap, and that's not a knock on the trash heap, just it is what it is. He's been helpful, but yeah, if you could go look on the trade market and, go be a savvy GM, pick up some money on somebody, move them over. I don't know, man.
I'm scared for him to make any trades, honestly, given how the Darren Ruff deal went. But
oh god, JD Davis is still having a really nice season.
You know, he's like top five for All-Star voting or something like that.
Who? Well, San Francisco always just kills it in the All-Star voting. They always have. I want to look at the numbers that he's having right now, because, imagine the Mets still had that right-handed bat in their lineup. That would be something else, man.
Well, I think as far as the bullpen goes, also, maybe they were expecting Drew Smith to take another step forward, and he really hasn't. He's been much, much worse than last year, it feels like, even though the numbers are kind of similar here. You look at maybe they're not. So his xFIP last year, 3.72, and this year is 4.5. Like, that's not good. That's really bad.
No, he's got such – that slider is so nasty, and he pairs it off so well with his cutter when he's right. And I think who did we see on over the weekend? He went high and away to somebody with a fastball, and it was like 97. But the way he was using all his other pitches, it worked out really well. I still like Drew Smith. I still think that he can be a useful piece. But he's not a seventh inning guy in a close game every time he goes out on a competitive ball club. He can be a competitive, useful piece, but you can't just throw the guys into the fire and rely on them and expect them to be, oh yeah, step right in, go be an all-star. He might have that stuff, but it's a fickle game. It's a very nuanced game where, you throw a guy in there, he finds a little trouble, and takes a while to get back in that mind frame. Yeah. I'm going to look at his Statcast stuff too. Okay, so yeah, his Bauer rate's up, his sweet spot rate's up.
Yeah, hard contact is up 10% for him year over year.
Jeez. Sweet spot's up 4.5%.
Gave up 14 barrels all of last year. He's given up 9 already this year.
Walk rate's up 2%. Yeah, something's going on, man. Like, do you point any fingers at Hefner?
I think everybody is due some sort of criticism.
Oh, sure. But like, a fireable offense?
No, not yet. Probably not. But that's because I had a very high opinion of him before.
Oh, same here. 100%. I think we're on the same page there. And again, I think it's a personnel thing. Like, you can't take a B team and expect an A team. Even the best coach in the world can't work that magic. And you know, you can't dedicate, you know, a little bit of time to help everybody. You know, oh, one guy's struggling. Okay, let's focus our efforts on him. The whole group is struggling. Hey, you got to go and try and fix everybody. It's a, you know, it's a tall task. I'm curious to know how this hitting structure is working out. The hitting coaching structure with Barnes and with the Luhinsky's in there, and you still have what's his name now? He's the bench coach. It's sure. That had to be a bit confusing. I know it's not football where you're changing a playbook, but just the approach, you know. That confidence. I think it comes back to the confidence.
Yeah. I wonder what kind of difference that makes moving Chavez to the bench.
Chavez, I'm sorry. I'm like rattling off names. No. Boy, I don't think we had much of a structure today at all, but this is fun.
No, this is like therapy.
Exactly.
There's a lot not going well. Brian Kennedy had a great video that, went on social media today. I think I retweeted it. I'll retweet it again. But there are so many issues that have befallen the Mets so far. But it's everything. It's the starting pitching has not been good. It's bottom third of the league. The bullpen has not been good. It's bottom third of the league. And then on top of that, the offense is like below average. So it's not like the offense is going to be able to pick them up. It's just everything. Somebody needs to come through. Lindor, since his comments about needing to be better, has to his credit been better over the last couple of weeks, but it's just, it is, it's on every level. Like,
and then losing Pete was like the glue of anything good that's been happening. He's been right in the middle of it. And now he's
because at least he can hit the ball out of the ballpark.
And he has been. Oh, and he has been. He's been doing it in big spots. He's been, you know, I mean, now you're putting
22
pretty much all of your power hopes on the shoulders of a 21-year-old rookie catcher.
Oh, but, and Tommy Pham.
And Tommy Pham has been outstanding and good for him.
Credit to Epler for that one. He did a good job with that
one. Vogie's been out of the lineup. Not conspicuously out of the lineup. Like, you know, again, these are all decisions that kind of had to be made. And I'm curious how long he's going to be around. Now the Mets have Luke Voit. Wondering if he's going to be much of an addition, if he can make his way up to the big club and, you know, give you some right-handed pop. I hope that doesn't indicate that Pete's going to be out for an extended time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if you saw the video that went out, has been posted a couple of different places today, that event that Pete was doing, he's wearing a splint. He says, I know it looks bad, but he's on track. And I think it'll be, what, like a month, they said?
Yeah, he said 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Hey, so, if Robinson Cano can tear his hamstring and come back in three, let's see if Pete can make it back from a bone bruise or a contusion in less, we hope.
Yeah, I think Pete will have to do it naturally, which may be it. But the with Voit, he really struggled with Milwaukee. They cut him loose. I think he was slugging like 2-something, which So now he's going to get this other opportunity and we'll see how he does at Syracuse. Cause he's going to report there. I don't know. This is
yeah, man. It's a perfect storm of crap right now. That's what it is. It's not great, but hey, you want to take a quick break? We'll come back and we'll talk about the kids.
Sure.
Talk about the kids. All right. Hang tight, guys. We'll be right back for a quick second half.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. Welcome back. So very quickly, before we sign off for the day, Francisco Alvarez, of course, is coming into his own at a rapid pace. I believe he entered Monday fourth place among National League catchers in All-Star voting. I'm not sure exactly the order, but it's JT Realmuto, Sean Murphy, and who's the third guy ahead of him? Nope. No, I can't remember. Anyway, we talked before the break about how Francisco Alvarez has become pretty much the Mets' main power source, or at least consistent power source, as Pete's been out. Brett Beatty has struggled quite a bit, and I know the Mets were expecting him to really come into his own and find that same comfort level that Alvarez has. Any concerns on his trajectory? Just he's coming along, and this is, you know, just part of the process.
Well, he's been hitting the ball on the ground a lot, obviously, but based on some things that I've read from other people online, it's that's just kind of his profile. That's how he's been. So I'm not sure if that's a cause for concern. He hasn't necessarily been valuable to the Mets this year so far, but I'm looking at advanced stats, hitting the ball hard about 50% of the time. That's pretty good. His expected WOBA is significantly higher. So like it should be around 340, which is, I think, is it 330 is league average? But right now what he's doing is like sub 300. So yeah, the beauty of age, right, is that we are going to give him more chances. He should get more chances. It's interesting. Obviously, he's got a bigger sample size now, but you look at the type of contact that he's making now as opposed to his brief stint last year before the injury. And during that time, he was either hitting the ball like pretty hard or hard. And now he's hitting the ball softly a lot more. I'm not sure if that's like statistically significant given that he didn't have a huge run before, but the numbers are somewhat similar. If you look at his ground ball fly ball ratio in AAA, it's like 2.25. At AA in 2022, which he really did a good job, it was 1.38. So maybe that is something. Right now it's close to two at the major league level. So
yeah, you can see where he's succeeding. You can see where he's struggling. And I think it's just a time thing. It's not necessarily a talent thing. I mean, against fastballs, he's got hard hit percentages, 50% against the four seamer, 57.1% against the sinker, 60% against the cutter. You look at his whiff rates against the slider, 38.9%, the changeup, 30%. He's having trouble with major league breaking stuff and major league off-speed stuff. I mean, that's natural for a kid his age with that level of experience. Yeah. I do like how he's really playing up against the curveball. He's got a 286 batting average, 68 plate appearances finished on the curveball, hitting 286 against him with a 714 slugging percentage. That's very impressive. You're facing major league curveballs. Now, again, curveballs aren't primary secondaries, if that makes sense for everybody. Everyone's going with sliders or sweepers, whatever these days. But he's tracking curveballs, which, you know, you're dropping, let's say, 40 inches. That's impressive. That's a very, very nice building block. I would like him to learn to adapt to changeups. Sliders, you know, your best hitters in the game are going to chase sliders and they're going to have trouble with them. And, you know, some guys will throw you a changeup and they'll just knock your socks off with it. Not every guy has that type of changeup. And I think it's a pitch that Beatty has that tracking ability, the ball tracking, the pitch tracking ability to really do damage on changeups that maybe don't have that same lateral movement to it, that have that dip to it, but just kind of sit there and don't exactly dip out. I think he could take advantage on spots like that. And I think it's just, you know, kind of part of the process in his case.
Yeah. Reading this year's prospect preview on Fangraphs, they say about Beatty specifically that he made subtle swing changes last year that have allowed more of his raw power to become game power, but always a high ground ball rate hitter. So maybe something has changed in his stance. I don't know. I would have to watch video in order to be able to tell, but that's something that maybe they could look at.
You would hope so. I mean, there's clearly there's so much talent there. You know, that's a guy who can be a huge piece, especially if the Mets really make a run over the last, you know, what are we at, two thirds of the season, probably much less than that. Mark Vientos. Mark Vientos has not had much of a shake at all. With Pete out, you would assume he'd be getting more looks at first, maybe some DH reps. We've seen Canna taking reps at first. I think Vientos did get a game out there. Only way for him to get any better is experience. At what point are you just saying, all right, Mark Vientos, sink or swim, you know, not permanently, of course, but let's see what you got. Go play a week at first base and let's see what we can do here. Do you think he's ready to take that on?
Yeah, I would rather see whatever he can do as opposed to like bringing Luke Voit up.
Yeah, oh, I think absolutely. You have to
get to see, you know, if you have something there. Otherwise, you know, you can move on if that's the case. But there's really no reason for them to be giving Vogel back or some of the other veterans that they have looks over him. I would much rather see what he has to offer when the veterans are not really doing anything. Nick Canna's picked it up a little bit more, and he's been playing a lot of first base. But Buck has said that that's not like going to be an everyday thing. Mark Canna is not going to be the everyday first baseman for the next month while Pete is out. So I'd like to see Vientos get those opportunities and see if he can't pick up that 22 weighted runs created, which is such a ugly number. But like you said, he really hasn't had the opportunities yet. So I think that should be an organizational goal, especially if the team is not going to pitch well enough to win. You might as well see what you have. By the way, what did you think of Buck making the decision to pinch hit Luis Guillorme there on Sunday?
I have to wonder what Buck was thinking, but that's not, I guess that's why job, that's why Buck makes the, has the job, I guess, you know, maybe he wanted contact, and we know that Guillorme's contact profile will, you know, generally play well. It hasn't played well this year. His glove is, you know, I know there were some errors in the pod in the Pirates series this weekend, but
drop that transfer. Yeah.
I mean, across the infield. What was that, Saturday or Sunday? I think they had three. It was
the game that they won, incidentally.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Of course. You have to wonder. You really do. I couldn't answer that. That's strange. Yeah. He's had more questionable decisions in the first third of the season than he probably did all year last year. And again, situations have either right or wrong decisions. Generally, I guess in any spot, you want to make more right than wrong, but everyone's going to make bad decisions, especially in this game. Yeah. You know, it's a very, very, it's a hot seat. Even if you're coming off a 100 win season, it's an NL manager of the year. It's a hot seat, but I think he's all right. I think he's just, there's a lot of stuff to wade through there.
Yeah. Well, follow it. I hope it gets better.
Oh, it has to, man. You got the Yankees for two, and I know the Subway Series doesn't do much for me, but you know, maybe these guys get up for a Yankee series. Who knows?
Yeah, you talk about two teams that both kind of really need a win. I know that the Yankees have been significantly better than the Mets this year, but they're also kind of in a weird spot without Judge. So,
yeah, you got a lot of talent there. Volpe's having a really, really tough go. I still believe in his talent 110%. Dude, I think Gleyber Torres is still such a nice ball player. I know that he had really a couple of tough, bad couple of years. And, you know, he'll go through very, very down stretches, but very, very fond of him as a player. I know Yankee fans are tough on him, but I'm a fan of him. I think he can always do damage. You have to wonder what's going on with Stanton. I know injuries kind of, I don't want to say wiped out his career, but they've left him in a spot that I don't think, I never expected him to be at this low a point at this point in his career. You know, even though he was a, you know, 240, 250, 40 home run hitter, which, you know, power hitter, quintessential power hitter. One of my favorite guys in the game, man. Just when he's right, he is just incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I like, you know, I like on the Yankees, Clark Schmidt. I don't know if, the Mets. Yeah,
he had a good start on Sunday night.
Oh, he did pitch Sunday night? I didn't watch the game. No, they got Severino, who's been so-so. He's had a couple of good starts, a couple of not-so-great starts.
Domingo Germán has been pretty solid for them.
And we got to we get to face Cole. Cole versus Verlander on Thursday. Wednesday, excuse me. That should be oh, my goodness, look at Cole. 2.84 ERA, 90 strikeouts. Anybody have good numbers against Cole? No, but Willie Calhoun's a 4.55 average against Verlander. What is this? That's crazy, dude. I'm not even quietly. I'm outwardly rooting for Willie Calhoun, man. I've been a fan with him since he was with the Rangers, just waiting for him to take off. And I hope he sticks around. The Yankees can find their way.
He was a Dodger prospect originally, right?
I believe so. I know I picked up on him. Was it Texas? Yeah, I want to say it was him and who's the other infielder? Like Ronald Guzman. I was very high on both of them. It's probably like 5 years ago. And yeah, I'm just glad Calhoun got back. I want to say Guzman was with the Yankees earlier this year. Might still be in the organization, but I don't think he made it to the big club. We'll have to come back after the series. Hopefully the Mets can find some juice because this has been tough to watch.
Yeah. Maybe Marte start picking it back up. See what we have in the kids. I hope, you know.
They got to do something, man. And then not the kids, just the team.
Yeah. Well, this is the least optimistic podcast of the optimistic podcast.
This is the least optimistic 40 minutes of my entire Mets fandom. I'm not joking. No, this has been tough. We didn't even get to Ronnie, but we're just about out of time. I do want to see him up soon, but
yeah,
we'll get into that next time. Taryn, anything else on your end?
No. What's the sign off?
It's let's fucking go Mets. Come on, please. All right, guys. We'll see you next time. Peace.